Hello, I'm Levi Chapman. I work for CMDA's Short-Term Medical and Dental Mission Trip Ministry, Global Health Outreach. Here in my role at CMDA, I work on getting medications and supplies ready to go for mission trips around the world. Getting to work on planning short-term mission trips that share the gospel and help with people's physical needs is such a privilege. I love getting to talk to our amazing members and hear stories of how God is using them to further His kingdom through healthcare. Getting to come alongside Christian healthcare professionals that want to both honor and serve the Lord is a gift from God and something I am very thankful to get to be a part of here at CMDA. Thank you for prayerfully considering a year-end gift to CMDA. It means so much both to me and all the ministries you will be transforming.
Listening to CMDA Matters, the weekly podcast of Christian Medical and Dental Associations. Here's your host, Dr. Mike Chubb.
Well, before we get started this week, I wanted to give you a friendly reminder about our year-end giving campaign. If you've already given, we deeply appreciate your support, friends. If you've intended to give but haven't taken the time to do so, please take a moment to visit cmda.org/give or just call our stewardship team at 888-230-2637. Your generosity makes a big difference around here at CMDA. At the beginning of December, the advisory councils of both Global Health Outreach and Medical Education International, well, they journeyed to CMDA's headquarters here in Bristol, Tennessee for their annual meetings. At that time, GHO also hosted its annual Team Leader Training Conference. Our facility was packed, friends. During this training conference, I had the privilege of sharing a short devotional with the group focused on my wonderful experience in Guatemala with Global Health Outreach on a surgical team earlier this year. And during my talk, I walked through Psalm 116, which has been my psalm of the year, a psalm that I spent memorizing and meditating on throughout 2024, looking for insight from that passage of scripture through interactions with patients and interpreters and team members back in February. I invite you to join me and marvel at God's mercy toward us this Christmas. After the devotional message, I have something brief to share with you in order to tie the bow, so to speak, on this Christmas podcast, bringing us back to Advent and God's gift to us on that night in Bethlehem.
It was through the gentle, kind, consistent prodding whisper into my heart of Alicia Trivett, I mean the Holy Spirit, over a few years that, Mike, we do have some surgical teams at GHO. Yes, there aren't many, but there are some really good choices, so you need to consider. So with that in mind, when James and Sheila sent an email sometime in 2023, I had had a chance to talk to them like 2 weeks after I landed here in the fall of 2016, because 20 years of doing general surgery in a resource-poor place like Kenya, it's just, you can take the missionary out of Africa, but it's tough to take Africa out of the missionary. And so I hit reply, I want to go with you to Guatemala as soon as the notice came out. And that was about 18 months ago. So I had a chance, appreciate so much that they accepted me to join them as the third general surgeon to go to Guatemala this past February. But I want to back up before February. Most of you in the room know one of our great thinkers over the last 25 to 30 years at CMDA, Dr. John Patrick. Now, Dr. Patrick is a lot of things, but he doesn't give missionaries who are at an annual retreat too many warm fuzzies. He reminded me a whole lot of some surgical attendings that I had when I was a medical student and a resident, actually, with an occasional kick in the pants when he noticed that you weren't up to his standard. And so at a retreat about 12 years ago on the coast of Kenya, Dr. John Patrick was speaking for 4 or 5 days on the Psalms, and the very first evening he shared with us, he started asking us some what he thought were basic questions. And none of us in the room, after a day of travel, could answer any of his questions. And his response to us all that first evening, tired as we was, "What is wrong with you missionaries? What is wrong with you missionaries? You don't know the Psalms at all." Very endearing thing to say to a group of missionaries who've gathered together for a retreat. But over the next couple of days, John Patrick, I don't know if anyone else in the room received the challenge like I did, was to get to know the Psalms in a much better way. And in fact, his practice was to take a psalm and to memorize it and meditate it and on it and make it his theme for an entire year, for a calendar year. And I was pleased yesterday that Andy Lamb yesterday shared with us about his love in chapel here at CMDA, his love and appreciation for the Psalms. And he spoke to us yesterday about rising out of despair from Psalm 13. And so last December, a year ago, as I was thinking through what psalm, what theme that I would want to choose for 2024, the Lord put my focus on Psalm 116. And the reason in the months leading up to December that I chose Psalm 116 is the very first verse of Psalm 116. And I'm going to call what I share this devotional with you this morning, Marveling at His Mercy. And the very first verse of Psalm 116, "I love the Lord because he hears my voice and my cry for mercy and my prayer for mercy." And you can take this prayer in a couple of ways, one of which is that he will give me mercy. But as a general surgeon, I have to tell you, having hung around with thousands and thousands and thousands of surgeons in the U.S. and in Kenya who came to visit us at Timok Hospital, that surgeons aren't known for their mercy. And I'm one of those. In our family, my wife clearly has the yeoman share of the ability to show mercy. And so my prayer for mercy was, of course, I want God to be merciful to me, a sinner, and his servant. But I want you, Heavenly Father, to teach me mercy. Now, you all know that you have to be careful what you ask God for, because he might just give you what you ask for, because it's really good for you. And so little did I know that 2024 would be a year that started New Year's Eve on December 31st with my daughter in the emergency room with post-op lap coli gallstone pancreatitis. And that went on for 3 or 4 days. And I was sharing with the MEI folks last night about some things that were missed and that should not have been missed. And just working through my daughter, who's a nurse here in Bristol, through her complications. And on the afternoon that she was released, and I had helped in conversation with the surgeon to get her released at that time, my mother called me to tell me that my father had suddenly had neurological deterioration and she had rushed him to the emergency room. So for the next 68 days, my father was in a neurocritical care unit and passed away on March 11th. During that time, one of the most tragic things that our family has ever experienced happened. While my father's in neurocritical care, my middle daughter, the one who had the post-op pancreatitis, her husband's younger brother, just 2 years younger than him, hung himself, and they found him in his bedroom hung from the rafters. And my son-in-law, Matt, he hung on my wife and just sobbed and sobbed and sobbed because he loved his little brother so much. I could go on for the next 15 minutes about just one thing after another, in which it's clear to me that my request to God to teach me mercy, he's been very faithful to put things right in front of me that have challenged me to go to my knees and to shed tears with others. I'm not generally a crier, but this year has brought it out of me more than ever before. So God has been faithful to teach me more and more about mercy. This Psalm 116, I thought one of the ways that I could really inculcate David's words in this psalm into my life is to apply these verses in different situations. And so as we went to Guatemala, this team was so gifted and so well-rounded and prepared to do great ministry in the country of Guatemala, and specifically at Cabulco. I had never been to Central or South America. I had spent bulk of my adult years, especially professional years, in East Africa. So I knew Africa, but not Central America. It's a land of volcanoes. That I did not know when I went. And while we were there, we had a chance to go to a couple of these volcanoes, including a volcano called Fuego, or fire. Multiple times the plumes are going up, and none of us on the team knew whether this was something that was unusual. And I wish someone like James and Sheila had told me that this like happens many, many times a day, every single year, as opposed to thinking that above Antigua that Vesuvius was about ready to let loose. So Caboclo, a little bit like Hollywood, up on the hill next to Caboclo in this town in remote north central Guatemala, just like Hollywood, are these white letters spelling out the name of the town. And the team, I must say, I didn't join Sheila and the others who would walk up every morning up the hillside and watch the sunrise above Caboclo, but a beautiful place, mountainous Guatemala. The people of Caboclo are descendants of the Mayan, ancient Mayan civilization. Very colorful people, always dressed up, and they dressed up like this when they came in on Sunday to our screening clinic, and it also happened to be National Mariachi Week. So there were lots of mariachi bands that we were entertained by as we would, and very colorful for that week. And this is the clinic. This is Senorita Elena Hospital, and it's run by AMG, a mission organization that actually helps us with our trips that in the footsteps of Paul in Greece. And the banner on the left, advertising our team coming to do all kinds of surgical care, including hernias. In Spanish, it's hernia, so that was easy. But I saw lots of references to vesiculus. So I've never seen so much gallbladder disease in a short period of time in my life as what we saw that week, and lots of gallbladder disease that we took care of. And I just wanted to start this verse, Psalm 116:1. I love the Lord because he hears my voice and my prayer for mercy. And on that Sunday afternoon we arrived, you know, I've not been doing active clinical care for several years except for occasional mission trip. And so it had been a long time since I had sat down with a patient and walked through their symptoms and pre-op them for surgery. And this young woman, her father is in the background with a cowboy hat, had been to the hospital multiple times to get evaluated and possibly operated on for bad recurrent biliary colic and for chronic cholecystitis. The previous teams had not been able to fit her in. And unfortunately, she came late on that Sunday afternoon, and already as James and Sheila are bouncing through the rooms, and we have three rooms going to screen patients and set them up for the busy clinic that week, she was at the end of the day, and James had been told by the hospital administration, "We're sorry to tell you, this is Sunday, but on Tuesday there is a planned power outage for Caboclo. We will have no power, so you're going to lose an entire day of surgery, one of the main days of surgery." Already by this time, we had booked many, many, many cases, including 5, 6, 7 open gallbladders. And so James said to me as I walked down the hallway, "You're not going to be able to put this woman on. We just don't have space because we've lost a whole day." So I went back in and shared with her, and she began to weep. Her father began to cry as well. And she pleaded with me, "I'm in so much pain, Dr. Chup. I'm in so much pain," through the interpreter, Marisol, that I had. "I'm in so much pain. How can I not have surgery by your team? You are here, and I'm suffering. Please help me." The Holy Spirit, at that point in time, made my heart go out to this young woman. I mean, usually, like in a Tenmac hospital, you know, if we're booked, we're booked. We can't add more patients. And so I went back out and said, "James, this woman is so distraught. She is so sad and so begging for us to do something. What can we do?" And James said, "Well, we can go ahead and put her on the schedule for Tuesday and pray. We'll pray." So that's exactly what we did. And she brightened up when I said that there was a chance. "You come back on Tuesday and we will pray together, all of us as surgeons, that God will do something about this power situation." Now, I don't know all the details, and I don't need to know all the details. I don't know how God pulled this off, but there was no loss of power all of Tuesday, all of that day. Now, whether it was generator, James, or whether it was the city didn't shut off the power, but we had power all day on Tuesday, and so we did 5, 6, 7 major cases, including this young woman, and we were to tell her, "God heard our prayers. He loves you. He cares deeply about you, and so we have power." Verse 2, "Because he bends down to listen, I will pray as long as I have breath. Now, I will tell you, after 20 years of serving at one of the busiest mission hospitals on the planet at Tenwick, I never had the experience of a team of 15 people gathered around each, because people, as long as there was not a case going on in the other room, even people in the other room would come and we would gather around, because he bends down to listen when his people pray. What a powerful testimony. And it wasn't just a testimony to patients and their families, but several of our translators at best were agnostic, at best, in terms of their relationship with Christ. Verse 3 in Psalm 116, death wrapped its ropes around me. The terrors of the grave overtook me. I saw only trouble and sorrow. And then in verse 6, I was facing death and he saved me. This was my translator who stuck to me like glue for about 5 days. Marisol, Mary Saul, or Mary of the Sun. She was trying to teach me Spanish all week, and I was really a slow learner. But Marisol really had never been around medics before, other than a few visits to her own doctor over a few years. She had really never been had any experience like translating for doctors before. And so it was quite interesting. Sometimes her eyes would get big when I would explain something, and she would do her best to translate with patients. But Moses was the very first patient that I saw on Sunday afternoon when we were screening patients. Moses, a pastor, and he says, I've had surgery on my groin, and I had a hernia in the past, and I think it's back. And I took a look at him, and boy, I did not detect a hernia. But I did notice he had a punctate wound in his right lower quadrant, a scar. And I said, what's that from? And through the Marisol, he said, well, I had a biopsy done about 6-8 months ago. What kind of a biopsy? Well, the doctors found this tumor in my abdomen. They said it's a malignant tumor. My exam kind of changed in focus, and sure enough, he had a very large liver filled with masses on exam. And so my very first patient, I was like, this is not funny, Lord. I'm supposed to be quickly screening patients, and this is going to take some time. And so through Marisol, I explained to him that I believe that he doesn't have a recurrent hernia, but instead he's got an advanced cancer, and hasn't that been explained? No, it has not been explained. If it had been explained, he didn't admit to that he had been explained to him that he had advanced, probably colon cancer. So we sent him for an ultrasound so that we could have proof of what I was feeling on exam. And he came back several days later, and through Marisol, who's just one of the most merciful people that God could have put in my life to demonstrate to me what mercy looks like in the flesh, she began, as she's translating, to weep, as she's explaining to Moses that he has a cancer for which we can do nothing surgically. He's going to need some other treatment, whether probably chemotherapy. And of course, a poor pastor in rural Guatemala does not have much in the way of resources. His son-in-law was sitting right next to him, also a junior pastor, a young elder in the same church with Moses. And Moses, very confidently and with no anxiety or anger, no fear that he demonstrated to me, explained to Marisol, who then explained to me, that he's confident that God has his life, that he's not afraid to die, that the terrors of the grave would not overtake him, that he was prepared to meet his Heavenly Father because he was saved. He had committed his life to Christ and for 30 or 40 years had been a pastor in a rural church there in Guatemala. I WhatsApped Marisol just a couple of days ago to ask about Pastor Moses, and he said he is doing amazing. Still preaching, still teaching in his church, and preparing his son-in-law to be his follower someday when God takes him home. And so the terrors of the grave don't have to overtake us because we know that we're going to live forever, and Pastor Moses knew that too. Verse 4 in Psalm 116, then I called on the name of the Lord, please, Lord, save me. I will lift up the cup of salvation and praise the Lord's name for saving me. Now, this is a bizarre picture. There was a group of Canadian undergrad students, a work team there at Sister Elena Hospital, and they begged, some of them interested in medicine, they begged to watch surgery. So finally, James and team agreed. I was doing outpatient surgery at this time, so this is not my picture, but this 6'2" or 6'3" Canadian student, let's just say he didn't last long. and I thought he was just laughing and smiling in this picture. They said, no, he was delusional at that point in time. But I had a chance to talk to him a day later, and we kind of laughed together. And so I thought this scripture was appropriate for this Canadian student. Please, Lord, save me. Tammy Bradburn is from James Hospital, recovery room nurse, and she exemplified for me what has been one of my favorite verses in Psalm 116, how kind the Lord is, how good he is, so merciful this God of ours. She's smiling here. Underneath this is a severe migraine headache that she suffered with for the last 2 or 3 days that we were there, but she took care of every single patient, demonstrating to them in the flesh how kind our God is and so merciful. The Lord protects those of childlike faith, verse 6. I saw lots of kids, and I saw lots of brave kids. The little boy on the left had a large Baker's cyst behind his right knee, which he allowed me to aspirate under local anesthesia. And the little girl there in the middle had a lesion, I think, on her face, James, that was excised and a nice plastic procedure done. And the little guy, the 11-year-old on the far right, when I saw him, I had not done this procedure for about 25 years, but he was tongue-tied still at age 11. His tongue, it could not extend his tongue outside his teeth. And so we spent an hour getting him to sleep, and I spent 15 seconds fixing his problem. We all got a laugh that it went really fast, and anesthesia made a big deal of it. But at the end, he's enjoying sticking his tongue out for the first time in his life in the recovery room. But honestly, it wasn't any of these kids who demonstrated for me what David was saying, that the Lord protects those of childlike faith, because she probably wouldn't appreciate that I would explain her as a child, but Jacqueline was our surgical PA from New Jersey who was with us. Effervescent, bubbly, energetic, always ready to help and scrub and assist, and James and Sheila are staying at our house, and they reminded me night before last at how they wasn't sure how well a surgical PA was going to fit in, but she was fantastic. But she explained to me that she had been all over the world doing short-term mission trips and serving, and one of her most recent trips had been early on in the conflict of the Russian invasion into Ukraine. She was on the front lines shortly after the Russian invasion, bomb blasts going off near the place where she was doing patient care. And I said, weren't you afraid? She said, my parents were afraid, but I wasn't afraid at all. I knew that God had called me to work in Ukraine and to help those people who are suffering so much. Amazing what a little childlike faith will allow us to do. Verse 9, and so I walk in the Lord's presence as I live, or in the case of the physicians on our team that went to Guatemala, as I practice here on earth. And I just have the greatest admiration for Al and for Marv and for Buck and for Steve and for Ming and for Jason, who within 24 hours after being so busy and working around the clock almost, went back to their practices and immediately fit back in as anesthesiologists, as OBGYNs, and as a general surgeon. And it really gives me an appreciation, Trish, for what these docs who many of them are actively practicing, take their vacation time and go and serve, and then immediately have to fit back in, take extra call to make it work. So appreciate so much those of you, I'm looking out at faces, and I know that's what so many of you are doing. I realize some are retired and continuing to serve as team leaders, but many of you are making this work in the midst of busy practices. And so thank you. Verse 12, what can I offer the Lord for all he has done for me? I'm so grateful for James and his chief executive assistant, Sheila, for how they made this work, for the GHO staff who have offered to help all of us to get to places and to serve. And James and I are like 2 weeks apart in age, both general surgeons, and so we share a lot in common. And so I asked James during our time there, what's next for you, James? You've just retired. He said, Mike, there are so many doctors, including surgeons out there, who don't see themselves as ready to stop making a difference in patients' lives with all their experience and skills. But medicine, it just wasn't enjoyable for me. And so I'm ready to retire and see what God has for me next. And I know there are so many out there, just like James and Sheila, that are excited about what's next in their chapter. And so I think not only are the harvest field is ripe, but there's so many in this generation looking for ways and to find ways. I know that we have many stories from GHO of docs burnout, looking for purpose and meaning in their careers, who discover the opportunity to serve with GHO or MEI, and God rescues them at that time. I will keep my promises to the Lord in the presence of all his people. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Twice in that psalm, that we'll keep our promises. And I had the opportunity to share on Radio Caboclo 3 mornings in a row. When I was 12 years old, I had my first experience of preaching a sermon in Buffalo on television. And that began my preaching, teaching career from a pulpit. And it was in some ways a difficult decision for me to choose to go into medicine and surgery, because the Lord put on my heart that maybe I should be involved in preaching and teaching and full-time ministry in the church. And so medical missions was how I resolved that conflict, but it never left me that God had given me the opportunity to share from his word, to preach even from the age of 12. And so being on Radio Caboclo morning after morning was a real way for me to feel like I've kept my vows and kept my promises to the Lord in the presence of what they say are tens of thousands of listeners on this radio station. O Lord, I am your servant. Yes, I am your servant. Born into your household, you have freed me from my chains. I will offer you a sacrifice of thanksgiving and call in the name of the Lord. I'm sure that James and Sheila will agree with me. The real heroes of Sister Elena Hospital are the staff there, who receive so many short-term teams year after year. And what a blessing to be with these brothers and sisters and to serve the people of Caboclo with them. This was our team, age 30 to 70-some. And I will say it was awesome to be back with the blade again in the operating room. It was wonderful, brought me great joy, but not nearly as much joy as it was to be in the operating room with a 30-ish woman, with a woman in her 50s, and then a woman in her 70s passing the instruments, to be part of the body of Christ and serving the people of Guatemala, and specifically in Caboclo. Thanks for this privilege of sharing with you this morning. And again, Trish and team, thanks for helping me. And thanks, Alicia, for the gentle prod over the last 7 years to get to be a part of a GHO team. Lord bless each one of you today and tomorrow as you go through this training and fellowship with one another, encourage one another. And may the Lord bless and enlarge the territory of the influence of both Global Health Outreach and Medical Education International to his glory. Thank you. Well, throughout 2024, I've also been working on memorizing the Gospel of Luke, which provides us with several of the most familiar scenes and the people of the Christmas story in the New Testament. I've been struck by the many instances of God's mercy that Dr. Luke recorded in his Gospel, which by verse count actually is the longest book of the New Testament. You just heard me share my prayer in 2024 to learn and practice mercy as a husband, a father, a son, a leader, and a physician. Jesus told us in Luke chapter 6, verse 36, "Be merciful just as your Father is merciful." Well, I don't know how Christ's command strikes you, but that seems a bit daunting, like right up there with asking me to dunk a basketball. Luke's orderly account for Theophilus, it captures aspects of the Christmas story that the other evangelists didn't, including 2 Christmas songs: the Song of Mary, which is also called the Magnificat, and the Song of Zechariah, the priest and the father of John the Baptist. Those songs, one which was shared about 9 months before Jesus was born, and the other 6 months before he was born, highlight a celebration of God's mercy. From Luke chapter 1, verse 46, Mary says, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name." Listen to this. "His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation." And then as Mary closes her song, "He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever,
even as he said to our fathers. Then Luke chapter 1 ends with Zechariah's jubilant prophecy, which is in verses 68 through 79, and especially moving to verse 76. He's speaking to his little baby, and you, my child, John, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord, whose mother I happen to know because she is your mother's relative, sweet Mary, to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins because, here it is, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun, S-U-N, will come to us from heaven. And Zechariah, in hosting Mary, he knew that the rising S-O-N was soon to be born, to shine that sun on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. This Christmas, will you accept the gift that Dr. John Patrick gave to me many years ago and to those other missionaries sitting in the room there in Kenya? The practice of choosing a psalm to memorize and meditate on throughout 2025? My wife Pam and I have decided together that we're going to work our way through Psalm 145 in 2025. It's a psalm of David that confronts the me-ism in our lives with the truth that we were created to live for something vastly bigger than ourselves, a God with overwhelming greatness and goodness and mercy. If you'd like to join us on this memory project, just drop me an email and let me know by using the email address cmdamatters@cmda.org.
Are you interested in short-term mission trips? Well, now is the time to start thinking about signing up for a global health outreach trip. GHO sends teams around the world to places like El Salvador, East Africa, India, the Pacific, Central Asia, Nicaragua, the Middle East, and many others. Through these trips, we disciple participants, grow national churches, share the gospel, and provide care to the poor and needy. Our teams minister in outpatient primary care medicine and dentistry, and in small and large hospitals to provide surgical services. If you are interested in using the skills and resources the Lord has entrusted to you, please visit cmda.org/gho to learn more and find a trip that works in your schedule. Education is a key component of healthcare missions. And that's why one of CMDA's mission outreach programs is Medical Education International, or MEI. It is a short-term missions program that provides academic teaching and clinical training while building relationships with local colleagues and modeling the compassion, care, and love of Jesus. MEI teams serve primarily in low and middle-income countries, and most teams consist of 2 to 10 fully trained healthcare professionals. For more information, visit cmda.org/MEI.
As I close this program, preparing for Christmas, I want to tell you thank you for joining us week after week on CMDA Matters. And from all of us here at CMDA, including producer Mandy Morin, sound engineer Rusty Sluter, and our weekly announcer Jamie Majeski, we all want to wish you and your family a very Merry Christmas. As you celebrate this Christmas season, whether you are with family here in the U.S. or you're with patients in the wards, or you're serving overseas as a healthcare missionary, may the Lord bless you and keep you. And may He, in the prophetic words of John the Baptist's father, guide your feet into the path of peace as you bring the hope and healing of Christ to the world around you. That's what matters to CMDA, friends, and CMDA matters this Christmas. We'll see you next week for the last program of the year, God willing.
Thanks for listening to CMDA Matters. If you would like to suggest a future guest or share a comment with us, please email cmdamatters@cmda.org. And if you like the podcast, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and share it on your favorite social media platform. This podcast has been a production of Christian Medical and Dental Associations. The opinions expressed by guests on this podcast are not necessarily endorsed by Christian Medical and Dental Associations. CMDA is a nonpartisan organization that does not endorse political parties or candidates for public office. The views expressed on this podcast reflect judgments regarding principles and values held by CMDA and its members, and are not intended to imply endorsement of any political party or candidate.